Well, I surely desire your prayers tonight. I'd like to speak on the subject of hope. I think it's an essential element of serving God. It should be a natural product of serving God. It's what the Lord brings to us, that it's all okay, that it's all right. And again, I want to make the expression, kind of my burden, is that I think we forget. I think humans forget. And I think many times good, saved Christian people forget what it's all about. And in the forgetting, they can lose hope about what it's all about. But the Lord came to change us from a hopeless situation into one that was full of hope. And the hope that I'm talking about isn't based on that everything's good. It isn't based on the idea that I always feel good, that everything is always right in my life. But because it's not, it's what makes hope so great. Hope is something that is in the future. Hope realized, the scripture said, is not hope at all once it's realized. Hope is future. Hope is laid out before you as the expectation of something better. It is in the darkest night that hope shines the brightest. It's really, If this earth and this world's experience was only joy and peace, it'd be what we call heaven. It's not. It's not. And as sure, the scripture says that he put adversity and prosperity up against one another that no man could know. They follow one another. I see that true in life. We've had a beautiful spring day today. Yes. Well, a little breezy for my liking, but who am I? It was 71 degrees when we took out of here today, and it was very pleasant. It was a beautiful day. Yes. But I want to predict something to you tonight, or this evening. It's going to turn night. Darkness is coming. Yes. And it'll be here soon. Right. And there'll be a space of darkness. It follows day, yes, and day will follow night and night again. And there is in all lives, there will be periods. There'll be times of darkness. You can bank on it. There's going to be times that you don't know what to do. There's going to be times that you don't know where to turn. There are going to be times that you don't know what the right answer is. There's going to be times that you're going to be faced with great despair, great discomfort. There's going to be a time that you don't know how long the night will be. You won't know when the end's going to come. There's going to be spaces of our lives that God only will know what the outcome of the end of the thing will be. But He's given us hope. Thank God. Thank God that you and I have a hope that shines, that can shine. And I'm going to tell you, the why I'm using this language is that I know sometimes we forget what the whole thing's about. And because we do, we can become like the world. Hopeless. And in despair. And nothing else can penetrate that. One of the songs in our book, it's talking of faith, but it is the virtue of faith, 284, says, in the last verse of that song, in darkest night and brazen sky. Yes. Faith pierces. It pierces the darkness, doesn't it? How's that say?
It's pierced by faith, all seeing.
It's pierced by faith, unseeing eye. It unfailing eye. It's unfailing. There's something that is capable of piercing through the darkest night, the brazen sky, the scare of the time. Folks, we've all been there, and it's not over for us. We have life to live yet. We have the uncertainties to go through. But my message is tonight is hope against hope. Believe beyond the circumstance and the situations of life. It's put into the scripture for our understanding. Peter says to the Lord, Lord walking upon the water, and he says, fear not, it is I. They thought it was a spirit or something. And he says to them, fear not, it is I. And the Lord, Jesus being always, or Peter being Peter and the way Peter was, he says, Lord, bid me to come to you. And the Lord said, come, Peter, come. Full of expectation, full of hope, of wonder, of experience that never experienced before. The idea of walking on the ocean, the sea, bid me come to you. You can do it. I can do it. All of that was before him. And the Lord said, come. Come, Peter. Walk on the water. Men can't walk on water. But it symbolizes something. You know, God can cause us to do the impossibility. God can cause us to do what's not natural to us. God can cause us to do it. And this is in the scripture, and we all know it well. Peter, with his eyes fixed on the Lord, began to walk on the water. But something happened. He forgot. Something took his attention away. Something caused him to have other focus and other things, and it robbed him. It stole from him something that he was about to experience. I believe with all my heart that represents, as long as Peter had his eyes on the Lord, there was nothing could shake him away. But the storms of life, the night, the darkness, it many times will get our attention. It will get our attention off on the circumstances, the darkness, the misunderstandings, the all knows, and the devil works in darkness. He's strong in darkness. The devil loves darkness. He is full potential. Not that he has to be. God, the day and the night's the same God. But it ain't the same to me. And there's a certain fear of the dark and of not understanding and of not knowing and not knowing what the end is. And many times I lose my hope that has been so graciously giving. The hope that God gives us. Over in the second chapter of Revelations, I want to look at about the 25th verse of this. But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received my Father. And I will give him the morning star. Now, I am very aware here tonight that there is a definite meaning to these scriptures in their context. I'm sure there is meanings. But also believe very strongly that the scriptures are very versatile and very alive in their meanings. And I believe one of the meanings that this can be applied is to the individual. This was probably very particularly talking about to the nations or to the view of what was going on, but this can also, I think, be applied, and we're going to look at it that way with this liberty, that this can be talking about the individual. And I am very impressed with this idea. I will give him the morning star. Now, thank God. And I want the Lord to impress this upon our hearts tonight. He wants to give you, and I'm going to use the you again. He wants to give me. He wants to give the morning star. You know what the morning star was? It, those that look into those kind of say things say it was actually Venus. And Venus appeared before the sun came up. It was very vivid in the eastern sky. And it come up, and it was a, well, I'll say this. To somebody that would lay down and to sleep and wake up in the night and not have the ability to look at his wristwatch, would naturally look to something for direction, for what time is it? What time is it? Where am I at? What position? Those kind of things. And if he didn't have that, then there was a certain time that he could look up and say, we're still in the middle of the night. But there'd be a time that he could look up, and it was a forecaster. It was the sign before. It was predicting. It was suggesting. It was predicting that the sun's coming, brother. The time's coming. Your deliverance is coming. The hope is going to be, you're not being fulfilled. It hasn't come. But here's the predictor. This is the earnest. This is the I am there statement. This is coming. Day's coming for you. The fulfillment of your hope. What you long for, what you're wanting, it's still beyond. It's still futuristic. But I'm going to give you an earnest to tell you I'm aware of your situation. I know where you're at. This is mine. The night is mine. And I'm going to show you it's mine because I'm going to give you the morning star. You need the night, the day. You need the morning star that Jesus gives you. He gives you hope. Against hope. He gives you hope against the darkness. He gives you a suggestion of fulfillment. This is going to be, I am working for you. I am bringing your day along. I'm bringing the end of this thing. And he gives the morning star as an earnest. I'm going to give you something. And oh, I know, I've been there where I did not know. I didn't know what to do, where to go, what to turn. And God give an earnest, a beacon of light that shines in a long, hard, dark night. Now, I don't know what's happening, what's going to go on. And the Lord bring that little beacon, that little earnest of, I'm there. I'm working for you. I want to help you. I think tonight that if we could get a hold of, because darkness will come again to your life, as sure as it's day, the next thing that follows will be dark. And we'll have to face the darkness. As human beings, we're going to have to face the things in our life that come to our life. And he's given us a hope in there. A hope. An inkling. A view. The darkest time. I used to work in the coal mines. And when you got down under the ground, it's dark. You get in there far enough, and I'm going to tell you, there's no light in there. If you don't have a light, there's nothing that you can see. You can't see this. It doesn't matter. You can't see. And many, many times I've come out of a coal mine with my cap light going out, and it try to turn it off and save just enough to be able to see to just... we ride belts or whatever to get off just enough to follow, and it's not a good situation to be in. But many times I remember turning the corner and way off, I see something. I see hope. I see the smallest glimmer that suggests that I'm moving towards something. It's coming. I'm getting there. Something's going to happen. And it was the sense, I wasn't really afraid of the mines, but always wanted to get out of there too. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't scared while I was in there, but I never remember a day that I wasn't glad to see the outside. And when I saw the glimmer of the hope that was futuristic, but it was there, a light shining.
And I said, I'm getting close. That's my destination. I'm getting close. I'm working towards that. The earnest was there. A beacon. God gives us, folks, an earnest in this life. But we lose sight. Many times we lose sight of the fact that God controls this. I'm not always going to be here. I've been given a promise of God. Oh, if in our mind's eyes, if we could remember that morning star shining, just that bright star. I still can't see. You know, the morning star didn't give off enough of light to see. You really couldn't do anything by the light of it. It wasn't meant for that. It wasn't meant to do that. It was a suggestion to them to know, I know where I'm at in this battle. I know there's an end coming. I know the day is coming for me. So Lord, help us tonight that we embrace the hope that Christ brought. And He gives this morning star as a gift. I believe as a gift to you. He gives that in the middle of these battles, in the middle of these times. And I'm thinking about some of those that I feel like in the Scriptures had this hope given to them at their dark time. And then they was, it didn't just appear that they had deliverance, but God did something for him. Do you remember when David took some his men off, and they was going, and the enemy came and took their stuff, and they took David's wife too, Abigail, and they took the other men's wives and children. And when they got back, all of them was gone. And all the guys look at it, and then they look at David. Like, now what kind of a leader are you? Well, wait a minute here. And they're talking, is there any stones here close by? Uh-oh. What's he going to do? Now wait a minute, fellas. Beg off of it? What are you going to do? Start getting dark. What are you going to do? Remember what David did? It said he went and sought the Lord. He went to the Lord with this. He encouraged himself in the Lord. And the Lord gave him a gift of the morning star. He didn't have his wife and stuff back, but the Lord gave him hope. The Lord spoke to him and said, if you go, I'll give them back to you. You go and get them back. That was the earnest. The light had shined. It's still dark, but the light had shined. He had a hope given back to him. Has the Lord ever come to you and give you something? I know in one of my darkest times, probably the darkest I ever had in my life, I didn't know what life held. I didn't know what the meaning of things was. My rug had been pulled out from under me. It wasn't what I had planned, what I desired. Everything had changed and altered my whole life. I looked and said, I'm in the will of God. I'm working for the Lord. The Lord has blessed us. And all of a sudden, everything's pulled out. And I'm standing there telling the Lord, Lord, I prayed every prayer. I'm at the end of my rope. Lord, if you don't help me, I'm going to perish. I seen nothing but darkness. I didn't see I didn't feel the hope. I had no hope. I was miserable. You ever been there? It just seems like everything's hopeless. And then the Lord did not change the situation. He simply gave me the morning star. He gave me something as an earnest to say, I'm with you. I'm going to give you a grace to be able to go through this with. I'm going to give you an assurance and a hope. And you're going to be able to survive this. And at the same instant, it was an understanding, but there was an overwhelming sense of grace came over me that enabled me to know in the middle of my dark night that day's coming. My day is coming.
There was another man whose name was Elijah, the great prophet of God. And he had went and performed a great work of God. And God had blessed it. And he had overcome the prophets of Baal and of Asherah in a great demonstration of God's power. And then he took his eyes off. And it got dark. And now he's sitting saying, Jezebel's upset and has claimed his life and chasing after him. And so he goes hiding in a cave. And he's hiding there and he's telling, I'm the only one left. Nobody but me. Getting dark in here and can't see beyond it. And the world's bad. And I look at this United States sometimes and I shake my head. Me and Alan was talking yesterday going to town. How did we ever get here? With all of this. Getting dark. I want us to see the morning star. Because he's given the morning star to these people. That says no matter how dark this country's got, it's never been my hope anyway. It's never been God's people's hope that the right people's been in office. Come on. It's never been the hope of our lives that God tells us to pray for him and he works things, but he's never been our hope, really. And I grumble about it as much as anybody. But the bottom line of it is, it's never really been my hope that the government does anything right anyway. And I would be awfully disappointed if it was. Because they don't. And I'll be honest with you, people's never been my hope. I love the saints, but people's never really been my hope anyway. And Elijah's there, and he lost perspective, didn't he? He lost the idea, he lost the vision. He lost his morning star. He lost the hope that God had given him that there is a God and things are better. And you can look to that in the darkest night and brazen sky. You can look beyond that because that's not what it's all about. It's not about who's king. Oh, if we just had a better king. So it's about having a good king. Our hope's in a good king. Our hope's in a good president. And I didn't say nothing about the one that's there. I just said, is our hope in a good president? You'll be disappointed. We ain't never had a president, even when one I said they was pretty good. We ain't never had a president that was good. We haven't. Because he's a man. And he's always moved by the powers and forces of the things around him. And that's the truth. But the Lord, I believe, gives us something to look through. It's called hope. I have hope anyway. I have hope because God's a God of hope. I have hope beyond this world. And Elijah lost the idea for a little while until the Lord came. Elijah, I've got 7,000. Come on, Elijah. Where's your hope? There come a time that he got out of his stupor and got back into a life of God, looking to the one that made the difference anyway. You know, there was a man one time named Bunyan who took a stand. He took a stand for God. Quite impressive. Standing up against the powers that be, willing to give his life and all that. So they throw him in a prison. Give him an ultimatum. You can get out of here. All you got to do is recant and do it our way and we'll let you out. Can't do it. Got to hold for God. Pretty dark in there, isn't it? Must have been lonely. You know, we've had a long winter up home. And I'm going to tell you, I'm really thankful to be here. And it isn't just because it was a pretty day today. It's because I was getting stir crazy. We've been home since just after Christmas. and I just started getting yancy about things, I'm gonna tell you, when it's really bad weather and you kind of stuck in with things and stuff like that, the last few days we was home, I can't hardly take none of this. And it's fighting all this and stuff. But could you imagine 12 years or something? I mean, can you imagine being in a prison cell? Could you even imagine saying with your life that I'm going to do? You think he would have ever felt some depression? Oppression? You ever felt like that he wondered what it was all about? Do you ever think that he wondered, God, can't you get me out of here? Do you think that he ever wondered any of those kind of wonderings? I wonder what made him stay sane. I wonder what worked for him. I think the man was given the morning star. I think that God had given him a promise of hope. And hope looked beyond the circumstances. And I'm going to tell you, it can, it always does. Look, that's what where hope's needed in those kind of places. God willed that he was there. And so, to embrace that and say, I'll do that. And here's my life. And I'm looking beyond that. And there'll be a day, hope that maybe I can get out of here. But if it's only the scripture says, if we have hope in Christ, if our hope is in this world, if that's all we have, we're of all men most miserable. Do you know he said if you hope in Christ, if all your hope in Christ is in this world, I have a hope in this world of Christ. I'll be honest with you. I have a hope in this world of Christ. He's my helper. He's my deliverer. If I get in jail, I'd ask him to get me out. I'd ask him to give me the courage, the grace to endure it and be right with it. I would have a hope in Christ. But if it's only in this life, you're of all men most miserable. And you know why? And Lord help us here. It's not all about this world. He came to give us an eternal home. And when our eyes sees the hope beyond this life. I know people can feel robbed sometimes in this life when they lose a loved one. They can feel cheated because it was taken early in years. People have those kind of feelings. But if you have hope in Christ only in this world, you're of all men most miserable because it's not what it's about. It's about something that He gave us. He gave us the morning star, the hope of eternal happiness, eternal life. He gave us something beyond this life. The hope that Christ brings is much more powerful than just for this life. And it goes beyond that. It says, no matter what I endure here, I have a hope shining bright. We have a song in our book. Is there any hope within you of a life beyond the grave? Now that's powerful. Because it gives us something else. When I grasp the hope beyond this world. And I look and I say, I know what the misery is. I fought the misery of it. Because I'm getting up in years. And I picture myself dying. And I do it quite often. Because I realize, you know, I look at life and I look at the situations, and I used to say, I used to say, well, I'm 30. If I double that, I'll be 60. Well, right now, if I double it, I'm going to be way up there now. Boy, it's going to be beyond what most people ever think about doing if I double now. But I start thinking about that, and I'm looking at that. And you want to know what I can do if I dwell on it? I can get myself depressed. Because all I know of existence is on this planet, on this earth. It's physical. It's my loves. It's my likes. It's what I do. It's how can the fish swim and how can the deer run without me here to chase them and look? I mean, how can these things even happen? without it. It's the way it's been in my life. I'm going to tell you, it's not about this life. And Lord, help us. We are men most miserable many times, and we don't have to be. We're men most miserable because we don't put our hope in where the hope's really at. Our hope's beyond this world. Our hope's in Christ for eternity. Do you believe that? Lord, help us. Because I believe when we really get a hold of our morning star, that earnest of the day that's coming, that day being the eternal day, and God gives us an earnest of the light of that eternal day, and we have a hold of that earnest, that little bit of light that shines for us and promises. It's a promise of a life that is beyond all that you can imagine. You have any pains? You won't over there. You have any enemies? You won't over there. You have any worries? Your shuck goes off too. You got any tears? Scripture says they'll be wiped away. There is something beyond this life that we got to anchor. It's the hope, and God gives us that. And if we ain't careful, it's a burden of my heart, but if we ain't careful as humans, we forget. We forget what our purpose was. We forget what Jesus' purpose was. We will anchor ourselves down and begin to struggle and wrestle around with the ideas of living on this earth forever. We'll wrestle around with the ideas of all these earthly things, and we lose the concept of what the Lord came to do for us. And there has been, and we have witnesses, we have a multitude of witnesses before us that has testified that hope has held them all the way through. They hope, they believe, and it held them all the way through with a great victory in their souls because they hoped. Because they hoped, they had the earnest. They got a hold of it, they embraced it, and they went right on through hoping, and there was people that suffered great pains, and yet they endured. And people looked on and said, how can they be so happy in the middle of such distress? Hope. The morning star had risen in their soul, and they had something. They knew, they hadn't got the day yet, but the day's coming. I got a little taste of it, and now I can believe in it. The Lord don't leave you just in darkness. The Lord wants to shine a beacon of light on you in the darkest night. The brazen sky and the worry and the trouble and the torment. I know what I'm talking about. One of the worst things to face in life is depression. The worst things to deal with other people is depression. I've dealt with people with depressed minds. It is terrible to deal with. I've dealt with people that was in the most excruciating pains and all this with a hope in their soul, and it was glorious to be there. Have you ever dealt with something like that? It's a marvel. It's a miracle. It's the day star that's arisen in their hearts. That they hope beyond this. It doesn't matter. And it seems like it dulls the pains. I've experienced those kind of things. I remember the first year I got saved, told this many times. First year I got saved, I really wanted to trust the Lord for something. I was anxious to trust the Lord. I want to trust the Lord. Well, I ended up getting sick, very sick, fever. But it was my opportunity. Now I can trust the Lord. Boy, was I miserable. But I wasn't. My body hurt terribly. I ached and all that. But there was such glory. There was such a blessing on my soul. The day star had risen in my heart. And it brought a beacon and a hope. And it shined out. It was amazing. I have said many times and still say it today, Lord, anytime you want to take me back to that place, I'll go running. Because although I was awfully sick, it felt so good because God was there in such a glorious way and give me such an earnest that I understood. Bunyan? I understood Bunyan. I understood Paul's writings. You understand what I'm saying? When he was saying, I will therefore most gladly suffer. What? Yes, I know. I know. Yes. I understand why you would want to. Because something's arisen. Brother Sammons used to say about heaven, he said he likened it to Sister Sammons' biscuits. He said, I know what heaven is like. He said, it's because it's like my wife's biscuits. I've eaten them. I know what they taste like. Brother John, I don't know if you remember that, but he said that several times. I know what they taste like. I know what heaven's going to be like. I don't have to wonder. I've tasted it. I've tasted it. The Lord's been there. I've tasted heaven. I know what it's like. And that was a beacon. It's a hope. Something that shines forth. Has the Lord ever done anything for you? That's a morning star.
Yes, that's right.
Why did He do it? Because you're worthy? Because you're good? Well, guess what? You still aren't. So is He going to do it again? Sure, He's going to do it again. Why did He do it to start with? Because He loves you. And He has a purpose. And He's going to do it again. And He gives us these things to our life. It's a beacon. Against the day of darkness. Against the hard things in your life. Has He ever answered your prayer? Has He ever revealed Himself and made Himself known to you in a powerful way? Has He ever worked against nature for you? Have you ever changed the course of things midstream? Sister Rhonda testified this morning about her little child quieting. I've tasted those same experiences. We've had the Lord work with us the same way. Exactly the same way. And stop things. And was so amazed. He done it before. He wants to do it again. Lord, help us to remember. Lord, help us not to forget. Not to have the hope before us. That shines brighter and brighter. The hope that I know. No matter what happens, it's all right. Because God's in control of it. Over in 2 Peter. You remember, I think it's like the 141st Psalm or something. David wrote a psalm where he was in the cave and Saul's men's around him. And he cried out of there. And he wanted God help to get him out of that place. He was in despair, those kind of things. You know, God shined a light on him. Over and over again, God allowed him to have hope in all these places that God was working. There was another place, and I won't go turn to it, but follow me in it, where John the Baptist was thrown into prison. He was the forerunner of Christ.
Yes.
Jesus said of John, there is no greater. I'm going to tell you, you talk about a testimony? Jesus said of him, there is no greater than John the Baptist. But John the Baptist stood for truth. He was a rock of truth. And he stood for truth enough to say to a king, you're wrong. You're wrong and condemned of God. You can't take your brother's wife. He got him put in prison. And he's in prison. Cold, hungry, misused. I don't know. In prison, whatever it means. So he tells some of his disciples, go and ask him if he's the one. Or should we look for another? And they go ask Jesus, and Jesus said, go tell John that the blind see. The lame walk, the deaf receive their sight, the dead are raised. Then he said, and blessed are those who are not offended in me. And I have pondered that scripture. That's amazing. You know what I think it means? I think it means that he was saying to John, I'm not coming and getting you. John, you've run your course. John, blessed are those who are not offended in me.
Yes.
You look at your circumstances and you say, God's wrong. But he told John, don't be offended in me, John. Let the day star rise in you. Look to the hope that's beyond this life. If I let you live, you won't live that long anyway. You've fulfilled your course, John. Don't be offended. Don't allow your soul to be robbed. Oh, how many people allow their souls, because of circumstances, let their souls to be robbed of what God has for them eternally. Because they don't see and understand enough to know that it isn't about this world and the prosperity of this world and all about what happens in this world. God allows people to go through many things. And he said to John, blessed are those who aren't offended in me. Because I think he was saying, John, I ain't coming to get you. I'm going to leave you there, and there is a course that's been set. They're going to take your head off. Your hope better be beyond this life. Look up, John. Look up. And look and see what I've given you as a gift. Hope. I give you the gift of hope. You know, the world don't have it. The world don't have it. We have a hope in our hearts that no matter what happens to me, Marty Clevenger could die of a heart attack, stroke, I could die in a car wreck, I could be taken out of this life. I want to testify to you that God's given me a wonderful life. And I'm thanking for it, and I don't want to be offended about the courses that he chooses for my life. But there is beyond this life, fleeting. Fleeting life. Fleeting health. Fleeting circumstances. Beyond this is a hope of eternal life with God. Lord, help us to anchor our souls beyond this. I know we got to live here and we're going to have to deal with natural things. But Lord, help us to lift up our eyes to God and anchor ourselves in a hope beyond this life. Aren't we surprised over and over? And I'll be honest with you. When they called me and said that Brother David Gaines had passed away. No. Did he really? And you know what? I felt like the Lord said to me just so quickly. He was saved. I told him at the church, yes! Yes! He didn't live saved very long. But he lived saved. And he fought a battle. And his hope was intact. As far as I know, he had it. And he gloried in it. And it was such a wonderful testimony that we all marveled. Because we prayed for him. And he's gone. God called him. Saved him. Proved him with a little time.
Yes.
Then delivered him forevermore.
Yes.
Isn't it wonderful?
Yes.
Isn't it wonderful? What am I talking about? We don't sorrow as others sorrow. Oh yeah, I'm sorry. You know, I kind of thought about David and thought, you know, sure, I don't like being able to say, well, you fought a good fight. Hang here. You know, Lord bless you. Something. I never got that opportunity. But yeah, I'm saying we miss our loved ones.
Yes.
But oh, I tell you what God done for him and the hope
yes.
that is there because he did
yes.
is so valuable.
Sure. Yes.
Don't lose sight of your morning star. It leading you onto that better place. It's a light and a beacon of hope that is predicting you're not going to be here always. It's predicting you can be faithful. It's a disperser. It was the disperser of light, they called it. It was the foregoer of the day. It brought the day. Hope's going to bring your eternal reward if you hope to the end of it. All right, over here in 2 Peter, first chapter. And we'll start with 17, I suppose. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. You remember when Jesus died? You remember the state of the apostles? Crucified. Oh God, we put so much into him. We put our hopes, our dreams. We put our work, our desire. We followed faithfully. And now, it's all gone. You ever feel like it's all gone? You ever been in a place that you felt like you were forsaken? They had to feel that way. They put so much into it. They had stood there. Especially Peter. Peter was the one that said, Lord, I'll never. The rest of them, I'm superior. The rest of them, they may leave you. But not me. I'll die with you. But he left too. No one to sorrow. And he really died, folks. I think they thought he might come down. There might be a great... What's going to happen with this miracle man? This man of such hope. That gave people such hope and could feed the multitudes. And he was the hope of us and our nation. And now he's gone. Crucified by evil men. Hopeless. Hopeless. Where do we turn now? Back to our nets. Back to the old way. We'll turn around and go back. Oh, I think it was nighttime, wasn't it? Didn't it turn dark when Jesus was crucified? I wonder what that symbolized. Does it symbolize the hearts of people? Night, darkness. Where's your hope now? The devil must have been saying. Jesus is gone. Where's your hope, nation? Where's your hope, people that trusted and believed? I imagine Saturday, in my terms here, it was pretty dark too. But something happened Sunday. Daytime came. Something come back. And now it's forever set. It isn't to be battled anymore, Brother Dan. There's no battle. The devil isn't fighting again. I mean, it's done now. The work's finished. There's no battle in Jesus' life, fighting and praying in the garden and all that. The victory's won. The job's done. The Lord done it. He fulfilled it. Salvation has come. It's the hope of us all. Well, it's kind of referring to that, I think, here. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard. And when we were with Him in the Holy Mount, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well to take heed. Take heed. You doubt any? God wants to give you an earnest. He wants to give you a star that shines. He wants to give you something that precedes the light that draws you towards that time. He wants to give you something that draws you to it. We have a more sure word of prophecy. We believed in, didn't we? We believe in the miracles. We believe in the work. But there's something that's stronger than that. He prophesied it ages ago. He prophesied it in Isaiah, in the Psalms. The word of the Lord has been for generations prophesying, speaking the hope of the soul. Eternal life to you. Hope has come. We have a more sure word of prophecy than in everything that they prophesied. It's coming true. They prophesied of the Savior. They prophesied of his crucifixion. They prophesied of his bones not be broken. They prophesied of many things about the Lord. And all of it is true. What does that say? To our intelligent minds. What should it say? Can the president predict time and events? Can the Congress? Can the Senate? Can we collectively? Can we individually? Those that claim to are liars. They're unscrupulous people. They're people of deceit that even say they can't. They're not accurate. True. It speaks of something to me. If it was true, and it's all been true down so far, it's true on the way, all the way too. And if it's true to the masses, and it was true to Paul, and it was true to Peter, and it was true to the apostles and all those that followed them, and it was true to the martyrs' age. The martyrs' age. Look what they went through. How did they make it through such persecution? Hope. They saw a light beyond this life. They saw something beyond this. Why did those people willingly go and give their lives to die in the cause of God? Because they had a light. They had something that took them on beyond. We have a more sure word of prophecy unto you, do well to take heed. As unto a light that shineth, it's like a light that shines in a dark place. That speaks. That you can see. That knows this is the direction. This is what it's saying. This is the direction. You're in an old dark coal mines and you see a far distant light there. That's where you're going. Don't need to bump your head on the sides of the walls. There's the light. You don't need to be going away till it dims out. No, there it is. There's where I'm going. And it's getting brighter and brighter and brighter all the time. Day star comes up and it's a bright star in the east. And you look and say, it's almost time. And as you're looking and you're following, the light starts, it starts getting gray. And it gets lighter. And it's getting lighter. And that's pointing the way. It's coming. And before long, there's the sun coming up over the horizon. My hope has been fulfilled. That is the process I feel like God wants to take us through. It's like a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn. It gives direction. It gives hope. And the day star arise in your hearts. I love that expression. Because it's not impersonal. It's not collective. The day star has risen in my heart. Always pointing towards God's promises. Always pointing towards a faithful God. You know you're going to have hope in God. Not only in this life, but surely in this life too. Hope. That if I'm miserable, He'll make me happy. If I'm overcharged, He'll take the weight. If I got something that's too heavy for me, He'll take the weight for me. The Scripture says that He will make a way of escape. Those are promises that you and I often forget. We'll say we believe and we quote to one another. Oh, I remember here Romans 8:28. I know all things work together for good. Do you? Or have you forgotten? Have you forgotten that to those that love God and called to His purpose, that all things, not half things or part things, but all things? He didn't say all things was good, so don't misunderstand and say that everything's supposed to be good. No, He said all things work together as a well-oiled machine. Everything perfectly timed and ordered to bring you to an expected end in your life. All ordered. Working together to get us. You say, well, affliction. Yep, that's right, affliction. But it's so bad. Yep, that's right. Heartache. Well, heartache. All things work together for good. But again, it's not. It is exclusive. It means that to those that love God and called to His purpose. Those that are pursuing God and have Him in the central place. And did the day star arise in your hearts? I pray that the Lord will take this little message and bless it. And I hope that we can get to the place, and I'm saying me in here, that I wouldn't soon forget, that I won't forget about what it's all about. And that I'll apply this in the workings of my life. Because I'll be honest with you, we talk much of outreach. We talk much of getting people in, getting people saved. Do you know, if they're coming to a bunch of people that don't have any hope, I don't blame them for not coming. What are you saying? We've got hope. Am I saying that we're always skipping and jumping? Jesus wasn't always skipping and jumping.
That's true.
We always have hope. We always have hope. Lord, help us that we can be able to share with others the hope. I think that's a scripture. I don't quite get it. But that we would be able to share, that we would be able to give the hope that's within us. That we would be able to tell people, what is your hope? I have a hope in God. You pray for me.